Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Akandamanalakaram Vyapta Yena Characharam Tatpadam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Yasya prasad agyopi sadhya sarvagyatam rajat sa Shri Chaitanya Devame Bhagavan Samprasidatu Mai Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose grace a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment, be merciful unto me. Tam Shrimat Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagadgurum Yasyanukampaya Shvapi Mahabdin Santaretsukam. It's another one from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I offer my respectful obeisances to Jagadguru Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose grace even a dog can cross a great ocean very easily and happily. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. The first three Bhagavad Dharmas, which is our path and method, are mercy, friendship, and respect, or reverence, which sound like very normal and ordinary advice just to any human being. But in his commentary in chapter 16, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that only a Vaishnava can be merciful to all the living entities. Only a Vaishnava can be merciful to all the living entities. Why? So we see in Canto 4, there is a beautiful verse from Narada Muni. Narada Muni says, Dayaya sarvabhuteshu santushtya yanakenava sarvendriyopasantya cha tushyatya sujanardana. He gives his recommendation to the Prachetas, saying that it's a favorite verse of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He likes to chant it, to quote it a lot. So in this verse, Narada Muni says that please be merciful, sarvabhuteshu, to all the living entities, which is possible if you santushtya, if you are satisfied with whatever comes. And that's possible, sarvendriya pashantya cha, if you pacify or control all your subdue all your senses. And if you practice these three things, then tushyatyashu janardana, then janardana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is quickly satisfied with you, pleased with you. Is that something desirable, that Janardana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is pleased with us? And not only he's pleased with us, he's quickly pleased with us. I think that's a very good offer, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with us, and not only he's pleased, but he's quickly pleased. In the third canto it says, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with us, what's unattainable? What is unattainable? Hare Krishna. So, on the first day we spoke about the importance of these three steps, and we spoke about the fact that we often take the higher, more spiritual parts of Bhagavad Dharma, Bhagavad Dharmas, which is chanting, we see today, which is basically anushilanam, the actual practices of bhakti. And somehow or other we don't often think much about the other parts of bhakti, like who is the object, that bhakti has to be directed at the object, Krishna, and Krishna is not just a blue boy, is not just a cute little naughty child who breaks pots, is not just is not an Indian god, some exotic Indian god. Krishna is the absolute truth. He's all those things also, but not in a material way. Yeah? So that means he's also in everybody's heart. And he loves his devotees. He loves his devotees. In fact, out of the four offenses, which can block our progress, and offenses are the most dangerous obstacle on the path of bhakti, and traces of offenses can be there up to prema, according to Vishnu, even in the on the stage of prema, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. It is so dangerous. I understand this is the meaning of almost completely destroyed. So 75% obstacles destroyed at nishta means that offenses still may linger. So it is so dangerous. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes four categories. And four categories of offenses are Vaishnavaparad, Namaparad, Sevaparad, and Jiva, Chitkana, Jana, different. So offenses toward any living entities, because they are all Krishna's particles. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Bhagavat says that if somebody offends devotees, it's like you invite a brahmana at your home and you wash their feet and massage their feet very tenderly, gently and nicely, and then take a stick and beat them on the head. And then you say, why are you disappointed? I massaged your feet very nicely. I was very gentle with your feet. Why you don't look satisfied? So this is the comparison to offending the Vaishnavas, so offending the devotees. In fact, Chaitanya Bhagavat is quite emphatic about it. We see several quite amazing stories there. One story about Advaita Acharya inviting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and being very insistent and ecstatic, and he's the one who, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, woke him up and brought him here to this world to save everybody. Advaita Acharya might have saved himself, but he wanted not just to save, but to give prema to everybody. And for that, he brought down Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was satisfied, he was happy with Advaita Acharya. And then he said, what can I do for you? And Advaita Acharya says, please save everybody, please save rascals, please save sinners, please save even naughty students. Hare Krishna. It's mentioned separately in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Advaita Acharya says, done, okay, I will do that. Anything else? Anything, any other desires? And Advaita Acharya thought a little bit and he said, oh, yes, those who offend devotees, send them to hell. Don't save them. Send them to hell, okay? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, beautiful, okay, I will do that. Yes, very nice. Can you imagine? We are in, what do you call it, hot soup. We are in, we are sometimes, should be careful about it. Yeah, we have another quite amazing story in Chaitanya Bhagavat. We have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu going for some kind of a pleasure walk. It's a long walk. They go from Mayapur to Shantipur. And on the way, as they say, on a lark, you know, Gauranga has an idea. He sees a hut, and he says, "Oh, let's go there." And it is a house of a sannyasi, if you can imagine, with his wife, if you can imagine that. And he's a tantric sannyasi, meaning whatever it means, something strange. So, you know, it's either one or the other, either a sannyasi or a wife, right? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes there, and they see him, they talk to him. Not only that, he is so happy to see Nimai and Nitai that he offers them some food, some prasadam. Just yesterday I read some nightmare story from which Purana? From a Purana. What Purana was that? That was Bhavishya Purana, Bhavishyottara Purana, about association with atheists. How, that even if you talk to an atheist, even if you sit on the same bed where atheists slept, we have the example of King Bhagiratha, who went to hell for that. And only his wife saved him. He took birth as a dog. She reminded him of past life. Then as a jackal, she reminded him of past life. Then as a vulture. So like after 10 lives, finally he got back to the human form. Right? So, I mean, I was really unhappy reading this story. I thought maybe it's just some invention. But then this story is mentioned by Jiva Goswami in Bhaktisandarbha. Anyway, forget it. I forget I mentioned this story. It's a terrible story. And it was just fresh on my mind. And here we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he goes to the house of such a strange person, which doesn't fit any norms of civilized behavior. Not only that, he accepts food from them. He accepts food. This tantric sannyasi, he tells his wife, maybe that's a partner, I don't know what you call, what is this called, and I think it's mentioned as a wife, yeah, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that she was his wife, and he tells her, okay, bring some fruits. So she brings fruits, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so Gaurahari and Nityananda, they eat those fruits, and this so-called sannyasi, he's so charmed by Gauranga that he offers them blessings. He says, "Oh, may you get all the material pleasures of life." Mahaprabhu says, "I don't want any material pleasures of life." And this so-called sannyasi says, "Oh, what is this? I'm offering a blessing and he's rejecting it. Look, we are trying to do something else and no good deed goes unpunished." Basically, he says, "Yeah, I'm trying to do something good and he's criticizing me, saying what good is there in material pleasures." But still, he's very charmed by Nityananda, by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Would you like to be charmed by Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Would you like Gauranga and Nityananda drop by one day when you have some fruits? and then he's so charmed, he tells his wife, "Hey, get out, bring some Ananda. Let's take some Ananda." Will you take some Ananda? And Gaurahari, you know, looks at Nityananda and says, "What's Ananda?" You know? And Nityananda is a well-traveled, experienced sannyasi companion. He says, "You know, he's a tantric. When he says Ananda, he means some booze, some alcohol." And in the Vedic culture, you know, alcohol is considered so contaminating that if you touch it, you have to take bath. If you touch it with a finger, it's muchi, it's contaminated. What to speak about drinking, right? And he wants them to drink it. So as soon as Gauranga heard it, what did he do? He laughed. And he said, "Let's get out of here." He says, "Sir, we need to take bath before taking your Ananda, okay? We need to take bath. We have to." And then they jumped into the Ganga and swam happily down the stream to, you know, some distance, and then went to Shantipur to Advaita's place. So it's a story, you know, okay, story is a story. But, of course, it's Gauranga's story. But Vrindavan Das Thakur brings out a very deep point from this. It's not accidental that I'm mentioning this story, because there's a very deep point. He says, "Look, this person, this sannyasi, was fallen on all counts. You know, on all counts, he was fallen. Every count. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaurangadev, he went and gave him mercy. Incredible mercy. You know, we would kill. Okay, maybe not kill. We would do anything to get this mercy. It's like that joke, you know, I'm the most merciful person in the world. And if I find anybody more merciful, I'll just kill them. And again, I'll be the most merciful person. It's a joke. I'm sorry. It's a joke. It's to help those struggling with sleep to be more alert. So, we would do anything to get this mercy. In fact, we sometimes spend lifetimes to attain a sidelong glance of Gauranga. If you get a sidelong, not even direct glance, you know, but like, look, I look there and then, I see another Chaitanya Prabhu there. It's like a sidelong glance, right? So if you get a sidelong glance of Gauranga, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, this whole universe is flooded with bliss, happiness. And Brahma, Indra, who are they? I don't care. Who is, like, these flies, mosquitoes, and Brahma? I don't know who are they. You know, it's Vishwam, Indradi Kitayate. They like completely insignificant. If you get a sidelong glance, what to speak if he comes and looks directly and eats your fruits? And this person who didn't seem to be in any way performing any sadhana, he gets this incredible mercy. So Vrindavan Das Thakur says, look, this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is his mercy. He's happy to give mercy. But look on the other party. We have super paka sannyasis in Varanasi who follow every possible and impossible rule, who are super strict. That was 500 years ago, and Shankaracharya made a rule that only a sannyasi can study Shariraka Bhashya. Because if you get a modern, unscrupulous, unprincipled person, they will say, oh, everything is Maya, I can eat beef, as some of them do. So he didn't want this. So only a sannyasi, only one who is totally renounced, he can study, because it's not so much a philosophy, actually, as a psychology. Psychological tricks to be detached. It doesn't explain anything in this world, truly. Even though apparently written in a beautiful language, Shariraka Bhashya. That's why it's attractive, according to Garuda Prabhu. So, to many people, and famous. So, these Varanasi sannyasis, they were super learned, super strict, super well-behaved, super renounced, super intelligent. Everything super. Superlative. Yes, best, top of the world. Varanasi was, nowadays, I don't know if anything can compare. Even till today, Varanasi is famous. Till today, Varanasi is famous as a learning center, right? So no Harvard, Oxford, or Cambridge can compare, in fact, to what it was that time. We even see our Jiva Goswami and others, they go study there. And Gauranga, he goes there and he doesn't want to even look at those sannyasis. And on the way to Vrindavan, he doesn't want to even talk to them. And if it were not for Tapana Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya and that Maharashtriya Brahmana, they would never even get any drop of mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says that he came with a full bag of goods to give out, but he said he found no customer, not a single customer in Varanasi. They were super qualified, but none of them was qualified to get even a drop of mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Vrindavan Das Thakur says, because they were offenders. They were criticizing Vaishnavas, and they were Mayavadis, Mayavadihi Krishna Paradi. They were saying that Krishna's form is Maya, Krishna's name is Maya, and so forth. So Mahaprabhu said he is like a great merchant who comes, and he didn't even give out any promotional samples. They were totally unqualified, yeah? Totally unqualified. Only on the way back, somehow or other, with Tapan Mishra's extra blessings, okay, he did something. So Vrindavan Das Thakur says, look, you have this fallen sannyasi, this totally unqualified person, sannyasi with alcohol on his table and the wife. So, you know. And he gets mercy. And we have super qualified sannyasis. In Varanasi, they get zilch from they only criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if he come, when he comes, you know, they say, why are you dancing? Why are you singing? What is this? You're singing. You're not behaving well. So this is the point there. And therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have some statement that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm raising my hands, I promise you, if you simply do not criticize devotees, if you just don't criticize devotees and just chant a little Hare Krishna, I promise you I will save you. Please don't criticize. It's repeated there. It's just little chanting, just, you know, Hare Krishna. And don't criticize. That's Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's so much emphasized there and in other places. So this is related because what's in way of our friendship, we think, okay, that person is senior. Look, he has danda and she has many years of record and he has big position, obviously senior, right? And these people, definitely junior, but equal. Well, look, he has this fault, I don't have that fault. And she has that fault, I don't have that fault. Who is equal? We find so many faults to reject people as equal. So we don't have friends. We end up without friends. And this is the point we mentioned yesterday, that this is actually the difference between a Kanishta and Madhyam. Between a Kanishta and Madhyam. So Madhyam, it's mentioned, Maitrim Karoti. He cultivates friendships. He makes friends. It's a deliberate action. It's a deliberate, maybe sometimes painful action. Not sometimes. Definitely there will be pain. Definitely there will be pain. There will be hurt. You'll be hurt. If you open up to somebody, if you accept somebody as a friend, means you expect them to be kind to you. You are, and they know your secrets. They know your secret buttons. Right? And they know your secret faults. And usually they forgive you, they tolerate, they don't mind your faults, except sometimes. Either intentionally or sometimes unintentionally, they may say something. Maybe I should share this. Anyway, I sometimes do share this. Okay, I will share this. I have a friend, and then with this friend, I remember one time we were just, you know, having some conversation, and we were discussing, as usual, the problems of the world and the, how to reorganize our society to make it good, as, you know, usually people do, and the normal topic, you know, how to fix ISKCON. And it's a half joke. And then I said something, he said something, I said something, and then he said something so unpalatable to me. He found some area where I consider that we are friendly. He will not criticize me in this area, and he criticized me in this area. And I felt so insulted, so hurt, that I decided I will avoid him. I was really hurt. I thought, I will avoid him. I will avoid him. And he will realize how wrong he was. That's the, yeah. You know, this joke about the wife and husband, they don't talk to each other. And then the husband writes a note to the wife, please wake me at 5 a.m. I need to go to an interview. Yeah? He leaves a note on the table. And then he wakes up and it's 8 a.m. And he goes to the wife and says, why didn't you wake me up? And she shows, and there is a note on his pillow, wake up. It's a very favorite, you know, technique for showing the other person their mistakes. Hare Krishna. Anyway, so that was my idea to avoid. And then I thought the person will realize how wrong they were, how they should be, you know. And, you know, some time passed and more time passed and more time passed and the person didn't realize anything. I thought maybe I should help this person. I said, you know, this, you know, like these many months ago, you said this and this to me, I felt very hurt. And this person said, no, I said correct. You are wrong. You don't understand anything. I said it in a good way. You know? It's like adding insult to the injury, you know? I felt quite, I don't know, devastated. I thought, what is this? You know, I tried, avoiding, didn't work. I mastered all my humility. And very humbly, I came and gave them the I message, the nonviolent communication. I said, look, when you said, when I hear like this, I felt very hurt. You know, and the person says, I was right. You were wrong. So again, I kept avoiding, What else? That's the correct thing, right? I kept avoiding. And I was avoiding and avoiding and avoiding and avoiding. And it didn't work. The person didn't realize much. So then after quite a long time, then I thought, looks like I have a choice. And what's the choice? My choice is, I can be either right, or I could have a friend. What do I choose? To be right or to have a friend? Maybe I should have a friend. And then after so many months, I decided, okay, I forgive him. You're laughing, huh? It was not easy. And then, as soon as I did this inner shift, my eyes opened. And I saw, oh, this person forgives me like every 3 days. I also say things like this to him. And I never even notice. And he just forgives. And he just keeps a friendly attitude. And I didn't see this before. Ooh, interesting. Sorry. I'm sorry. And then, the result is that, I have a beautiful, nice friendship, Hare Krishna, which definitely helps survive in Krishna consciousness. Not survive, it helps thrive in Krishna consciousness. I mean, depending on your period, sometimes you survive, sometimes you thrive. You think you thrive, okay. Hare Krishna. So, if Krishna has four kinds of friends. Krishna has Suhrit friends, Krishna has Sakha friends, Krishna has Priya Sakha friends, and Krishna has Priyanarma Sakha friends. Priyanarma Sakha friends. So four categories of friends. So Suhrit friends are they are somewhat senior to Krishna. They are well-wishers. So these are friends like Mandali Bhadra. These are the ones that Mother Yashoda says, okay, Mandali Bhadra, you stand on the left. Actually, there is a list. It's chapter 15, right? Where 10 friends are listed and they have 10, they protect Krishna from 10 directions. From all directions. By the name. They are listed by the name. There. And then he has Sakha friends. So these are friends like Devaprastha. He has many, he has billions of friends, billions. And he's, okay, he's God, he can. He can have billions of friends. But don't worry, because you may think, sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to be 3,456,397,432nd friend, Hare Krishna. It's like they give me a coupon and I wait in line. No, it's not like that. We read in Dananda Vrindavan Champu that when Krishna goes to the pasture grounds, then they sit in concentric circles around him. first the boys in red, then in orange, then the boys in yellow, then the boys in green, then the boys in blue, then the boys in indigo blue, and then the boys in violet. So it looks like a beautiful rainbow around him. And then every of those billion friends thinks that Krishna looks directly at him and sits next to him, facing him and next to him. And they can share their laddus and samosas and pakoras with Krishna. They bite one, and sometimes they say that Yashoda cooks more tasty, and therefore they want to take the tastier one from Krishna. I am sorry, I don't believe this. I mean, I believe that Yashoda cooks the tastiest, but I don't believe that other gopis, senior gopis, don't cook tasty, and that the friends try to, hoodwink, that try to trick Krishna into getting a tastier laddu. No, they want to give the tastier one to him. That's my understanding, isn't it? That stands to reason, much better, I think. And so they bite a nice laddu and they think, wow, this is tasty. And they say, Krishna, taste this. Look, this is one very good laddu. And Krishna takes and this bitten laddu, that's what puzzles Lord Brahma. He thinks, this is strange, you know, for us, if we go to the altar, like now he goes to the altar, we have to do achaman, and if you touch, you have to take bath. If you you cannot, you don't dare to go to the even toilet for the small thing in the same clothes. If you do, you have to change clothes, you have to do achaman. So many things to even offer anything. To offer one, you know, water to him. And here he takes something that's bitten by others with his left hand. So Brahma thinks, something is wrong. How can that be my Narayan? So he tests. And he gets tested himself. Of course, the result of this is chapter 14, which Shukadeva Goswami says, if you read, fulfills all your desires. And Prabhupada says, if you read, fulfills all your spiritual desires. A little spiritual technology.
Krishna, so the secret part is over. Thank you. Many thanks to our sound engineering crew for conjuring up another system from the thin air, or thick air. So, this is Shastric recommendation for everybody again and again. And be respectful. Madhavananda Prabhu gave a very beautiful seminar, The Culture of Respect, saying that this is what we do. Our culture is the culture of respect. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how we respect everybody. In Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, different levels of respect. I think we have it on our website, vhe.org, this seminar, Culture of Respect. You can check, or you can ask. You can ask Mahabhagavat Prabhu to record it for you or copy it for you. I think he has it. So Jiva Goswami says yes, except he says for devotees. We don't have a separate instruction to practice respect. So good news. That's what I thought. Yes, I just chant Hare Krishna, and that's it. All included. All in one. Right? No, he says. Why? Why there is no injunction for respect? Why there is no separate injunction for respect? Because, he says, a devotee has shraddha or faith in Krishna. Yeah, that's what we have. Yeah, shraddha in Krishna, correct, very correct. So, I don't need anything else. I can step. I can walk on people's heads, elbow them out of the way, because I have shraddha in Krishna, right? He says, Jiva Goswami says, what shraddha in Krishna means, he says, if you have shraddha in Krishna, then you know who Krishna is. And Krishna is the absolute truth. And that means that everybody is Krishna's part. It means that Krishna loves his devotees. It means that Krishna is not only Krishna somewhere far away behind the clouds, beyond the clouds, or on the altar, Krishna is also in everybody's heart. Right? So if you know Krishna, if you have faith in Krishna, you will naturally respect everybody. No, if you have Shraddha, not Nishta, not Ruchi, not Bhava and Asakti, not Ragamayi Loba, no, sorry, Shraddha. Any Shraddha in Krishna. Okay. Shastriya Shraddha. You will respect everybody. Hare Krishna. So, I will again request you to please, in pursuance with Jiva Goswami's words from Bhakti Sandarbha, I will tell you the exact number slightly later. He actually discusses this whole section. He takes the whole series of chapter 29, all these respect verses, including the one I quoted, 29:19, and it's somewhere around 115. It's around 120, 115, this area in Bhakti Sandarbha. And so I will ask you to please, in pursuance with Jiva Goswami's recommendation of actually practicing our Shraddha, to, because you certainly believe in Krishna. Do you believe in Krishna? Hare Krishna. Do you know who Krishna is? Yes. So can you kindly look at the person on the left from you and think, he is Krishna's servant. He is Krishna's servant, he's Krishna's temple, and Krishna is in his heart also. And then look on the person to the right from you and think, and he's also Krishna's temple. And in his heart, there's Krishna too. Can you? And then look behind you and think, yeah, this is also Krishna's temple. This is also Krishna's temple. So this is also what Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada translates the verse from 6:4:13, where Soma speaks to Parshadas. Antar deheshu bhutanam atmaste haririshvara sarvam tadhishnyam ikshadvam evam vastoshito hyasau. He says, please, ikshadvam, please see. Ikshadvam, please, you all see. Everybody as tadhishnyam, Krishna's temple, Prabhupada says, or residence of the Lord. And what is the result? Evam vastoshito hyasau. Then this Hari Lord is pleased with you. When you look at everybody like this, when you see everybody is Krishna's temple, some temples may be more neglected than others. That's true, yes. Some pujaris forget to worship and they get cobwebs in their temples. It happens. But even if a temple has cobwebs, even if the Lord is not well worshipped in that temple, will you spit on this temple? Will you kick this temple? No, you don't have to, right? So that's a very helpful technique. This is one of the Bhagavad Dharmas, and one of the ways to change our life, to change through changing our consciousness. This is the way to achieve what Nimi asks from Yugendras, quickly and easily. Cross the ocean of material existence. Even if you are dull, materialistic, and victim to material energy. So these are extremely powerful, extremely helpful techniques to help us advance in Krishna consciousness quickly. To not languish in the swamp of Kanishta Adhikar. Why do we need to languish in this marsh which sucks us down? Why not move into the beautiful garden of Madhyam Bhakti? Right? And Bhagavatam is the school which guides us by the hand through this dangerous area to the palace of beautiful Bhakti. So please see everybody. Who remembered to look at least at one person yesterday as Krishna's temple? At least at one person as Krishna's temple. Thank you. Yes. Hare Krishna. Did it help? Yeah, it's this magic switch. You know, we have some switches in the on the board in the control room of our consciousness. You switch like this, and consciousness changes. Consciousness changes. It helps us to please Krishna, Bhagavatam says, and move forward, and make friends with devotees. This way, you help others. This way, you get help yourself. Yes, that was the musical confirmation and the musical transition to the end. This is the end, my friend. And thank you very much, dear friends. Now you know. And that's the end of this year's discussion, but we have another meeting scheduled for the next year at Ekartik, just 1 year. See you again at the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Govardhan. And meanwhile, please move up on the staircase of Adhikar, pleasing Krishna, intending to please Krishna, intending to please Krishna, and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and being happy, as Prabhupada asks. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Om Satya Padaya Sthapita Sindhu Dhanu Chakadi Tanam Bhavanebe Vaishnavebyo Namo Namaha.